Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We have the professor on the line who's going to be chatting to us all about the debacle around Johnson & Johnson. Professor, are you there?
Yes, yes. Hello. Hi. Hi, Chad.
Prof, good to hear your voice. It's been a couple of months.
Yes. Not you, was too. He's standing in for Simon.
Yep, I'm standing in for Simon. And the last time we chatted was all about COVID and when the vaccines would roll out. Now the vaccines have rolled out, but there's an issue about Johnson & Johnson. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, unfortunately, it's a bit of a kind of a hiccup which has occurred quite recently. And it's generated a tremendous amount of media frenzy. So I'll try and kind of give a little bit of the background behind it. Let me take you a little way back to a bit earlier in the year. You remember that the national rollout, we are dependent on, confined to only two vaccines, the Pfizer vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The reason for that is that just about the enormous 100% of the virus strains which circulate in this country is the beta variant. You know, it used to be called the 351 or 501 V2 variant. And that's the variant which is the most resistant to the immunity which is produced by vaccines. So we could only use those vaccines which we know from scientific evidence that they're going to elicit immunity against this particular variant. So it's the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer. So the Johnson & Johnson, initially we were committed to 31 million doses total to the end of the year, and Pfizer 30 million doses, a total of 61 million doses. Of course, the Pfizer two-dose regimen, so it's for 15 million people, so that gives you a total of 46 million people doses, as it were. So we were largely actually dependent, more so than Pfizer, on the Johnson & Johnson. Now, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was registered quite a while back by SAHPRA. You remember, SAHPRA is the regulatory authority, South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. And they registered the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at the end of March of this year. But the registration, it's called an emergency authorization, and it is subject to a number of conditions. And one of the conditions is what's called good manufacturing practices, or GMP. What GMP means that there's a kind of a checklist that they go to the place which is kind of doing the manufacturing and the distribution, and they go through this checklist, and if there's not good manufacturing practices, they can't authorize the vaccine. Now, what happens with vaccine manufacturers is that the starting material, what's called the pharmaceutical ingredient, the active pharmaceutical ingredient, or AMI, that's produced into Johnson & Johnson two places in the world. One of them is in America, in Maryland, a place called Gaithersburg. Gaithersburg got some sentimental interest because we actually spent a year there when I was training, and Leiden in Holland. And the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration of the United States, inspected this facility, and they found that they weren't complying with good manufacturing practices. In fact, what happened is that the starting material, they work with both AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, and the batch of Johnson & Johnson active pharmaceutical ingredient was contaminated with some AstraZeneca material. Now, that's not good at all. So they closed down that facility, and something like 60 million doses had to be discarded. These were contaminated doses. Now, the plant in Quebec, which is, you know, Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape, which is run by Aspen, they were filling and finishing the active pharmaceutical ingredient which comes from America. The only problem is they don't know which batch will be alright and which won't be alright. So unfortunately, some of the kind of, and it varied between 10 and 20 million doses, which was about to come online in South Africa, we can't use that, unfortunately. The only Johnson & Johnson which is now available is some 300,000 doses, which has been cleared by the FDA. That comes from a batch which is not contaminated. And that will be flown to South Africa. It'll need to go to the National Control Laboratory for auditing, and then that'll become available. So unfortunately, as we stand right now at the moment, we are trying to kind of find, not we, but the various authorities are trying to find batches which were not contaminated and which did comply with good manufacturing practices. Now, hopefully we will get a few million of those doses coming fairly soon. And that's really what we're kind of waiting on. The only other concession that the Food and Drug Administration has allowed for is that they've extended the expiry date. Normally it's 3 months and they extend to four and a half months. So we do have a bit of time to play with that 300,000 doses which is coming. And meantime, trying to wait for some more doses to come online. So that's where we are with the Johnson & Johnson. It's a bit of a setback. It's a bit of a problem. So at the moment, we need to rely on the Pfizer doses, which are coming in, by the way. They're coming in batches of 636,000 doses coming weekly until the end of the month. That'll be a total since May of 4.5 million doses. So it does
Prof, are we still on track, though, in respect of getting these vaccines out there?
We are on track. Basically, we are on track, but the vaccine rollout, which is due to expand quite considerably, at the moment can't expand. It's going to be more or less limited until we can get more vaccines in stock. We do have a buffer of the Pfizer vaccines to last for a few weeks.
At least we have that. And for us, the greatest concern was to try to convince people to take vaccines. Now we know that at least there are contingency plans. Prof, I believe we're chatting again tomorrow. We need to get to the news headlines.
Great. Thanks, Chad. All the best.